This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Monday, March 25th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. More 1-3-D rules coming. Water deliveries remain low. Funding issues temporarily resolved. After another lawsuit, DPR to add more 1-3-D rules. In response to a lawsuit, the Department of Pesticide Regulation has drafted and this year began enforcing new restrictions on the fumigant 1-3-D marketed as Tilo. But with environmental justice advocates have successfully compelled DPR to create additional protections for nearby workers. Pesticide activists had fiercely opposed the new standards, claiming DPR ignored advice from a sister agency at Cal EPA to protect occupational bystanders. Gaining no traction with DPR, they took the battle to the courts, persuading the Alameda County Superior Court last year to order DPR to draft another regulation. DPR issued a new risk management directive in January, but its CDFA has already raised several issues around broad assumptions in the proposal. It estimates, for example, that workers near applications would be along the edges of the field for weeks on end, putting them at high risk of exposure. CDFA staff pointed out that farming practices are not so cut and dry. Workers may start a harvest at the edge of a field and work their way in, and they would not be harvesting the same field for 3 weeks on end. Staff also noted that harvest season does not tend to overlap with fumigation periods. DPR responded that the comments did not pertain to the directive or the need for cancer protections. Farm groups, meanwhile, have argued that DPR lacks the data to indicate problems exist with occupational bystanders. Frustrations mount after revised water allocations. State and federal agencies on Friday revised their forecast water allocations for the coming irrigation season. March storms have boosted the snowpack to average, and reservoirs stand at 115% of normal for this time of year. The Department of Water Resources bumped its allocations from a meager 15% to just 30%, while the Bureau of Reclamation settled on a 35% allocation for South of Delta contractors. DWR Director Carla Nemeth stressed the importance of protecting native salmon populations. Reclamation Regional Director Carl Stock said the agency must plan for, quote, anticipated regulatory constraints throughout the spring. Reactions? Allison Febo, General Manager of Westlands Water District, struck a more conciliatory tone with last month's allocations, but shared disappointment with the updates. Febo said she was led to believe that higher federal deliveries would be possible in wetter years, enabling more groundwater recharge. The district banked nearly 400,000 acre-feet of water after a 100% allocation last year. The agencies are acting in response to a large number of steelhead pulled into the Delta pumps recently. Febo, however, reasoned that should be considered a sign of rebounding populations. The disappointment has run across party lines. Both Representative Jim Costa and GOP Representative David Valadao vowed to continue pressing the agencies to increase allocations to support growers and local economies. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. No more stopgaps, for a few months anyway. The government is now fully funded for fiscal 24, with President Biden signing this weekend of the last of two spending packages. That's the good news. The government has been operating on a series of stopgap spending bills since October 1. The bad news is that fiscal 25 is now just 6 months away, and there is no chance Congress will get the FY25 spending bills ready before then, or even before the November election. The latest spending package includes funding for the Labor Department and the Department of Health and Human Services. Key areas of the Labor Department that deal with agriculture are funded for FY24 at the same amounts they got in FY23. That includes the Wage and Hour Division and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. President Biden said in a statement after signing the legislation, quote, "The bipartisan funding bill I just signed keeps the government open, invests in the American people, and strengthens our economy and national security. This agreement represents a compromise, which means neither side got everything it wanted." He called on Congress to pass a supplemental spending bill for Ukraine and Israel, as well as new border security legislation. By the way, the explanatory statement that accompanies the latest FY24 spending package includes a request for a report on the work of the National Occupational Research Agenda, Agriculture, Forestry, and Fishing Sector Council to improve monitoring skin cancer in farm workers. The statement also deals with the issue of alcohol consumption and federal dietary guidelines. The Department of Health and Human Services and the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration are being given 60 days to brief the committee on efforts to examine the effects of alcohol consumption among adults and the department's methodology for ensuring the effort operates in a manner that is unbiased and free from conflict of interest. While we're at it, with the FY24 bills complete, Representative Kay Granger, a Texas Republican, announced she's stepping down as chair of the House Appropriations Committee. Rules Chairman Tom Cole of Oklahoma is considered the front runner to replace her. Luan proposes update to standards for child agriculture workers. Senator Ben Ray Luan is proposing an overhaul of current standards for children working in agriculture. The Children's Act for Responsible Employment in Agriculture, introduced by the New Mexico Democrat on Thursday, would update the age and work hour standards under the Fair Labor Standards Act for children working in agriculture to those in other industries. The bill, according to a press release, would keep current family, farm, and 4-H educational and vocational training exemptions and preserve an exception for family farms. It would also expand maximum penalties from $11,000 to $151,380 for child labor violations and from $50,000 to $690,000 for violations that result in death or serious injury. Totals would be adjusted annually based on the Consumer Price Index, the release said. Here's today's She Said It. "I am really fed up with the administration not engaging as we need them to on foreign trade." That's Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa on AgriPulse Open Mic. She also talks about prospects for a new farm bill, electric vehicles, concerns about USDA employees in Washington, D.C. not returning to their offices, and more. You can hear Open Mic at AgriPulse.com. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Monday, March 25th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.